Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here. Happy Friday. Today we are going to be talking a little bit about Tesla's stock split, which is now official. Tesla has filed the paperwork for that. We'll talk about the details behind that and more out of the shareholder meeting, of course, yesterday. Talk about some of the biggest takeaways. Hopefully you all saw the supercut. I think that was super helpful, so thank you to Jossam for editing that. We also have news on the EV tax credit, a little bit of news out of China, and an update on Elon and Twitter, which is probably a good place to start. We'll talk more about it later, but Tesla today down 6.6% to $864.51, while the NASDAQ was down just 0.5%. So definitely an underperformance for Tesla today, a pretty significant one. After the shareholder meeting, I think a couple of things, you know, combination of buy the rumor, sell the news after the meeting. We didn't get a whole lot of new information necessarily, some tidbits that we'll talk about, but nothing groundbreaking, which shouldn't ever really be expected going into a shareholder meeting, but sometimes you still get that, you know, sell the news effect. Even though Tesla, I think, was already underperforming, certainly its beta compared to the NASDAQ so far this week. So a little bit disappointing on that front, but I think you've got a little bit of that. And then I think you also got a little bit of the Twitter overhang with some of the comments that Elon made at the shareholder meeting yesterday. So let's start off with the stock split. As expected, Tesla, the proposal for Tesla to be able to add shares to be able to facilitate this stock split did pass. So the details that we've got here now include the dates. Tesla says that each stockholder on record as of August 17th will receive a dividend of 2 additional shares of common stock for each then held share to be distributed after close of trading on August 24th. Trading will begin on a split stock split adjusted basis on August 25th. So this is the exact same structure as Tesla's split 2 years ago. I believe that was 2 years ago. Sometimes people get a little bit confused by the dividend language in here. It's not something that you really need to worry about. It's just how Tesla chooses to structure the split, unless you're going to, you know, go into the whole rabbit hole about naked shorting and things like that. You can just, you know, basically just assume that this is a normal stock split. What's going to happen is that for every share that you own, you would now own 3 shares on August 25th when the stock begins trading, and each of those shares would be 1/3 of the price. So if it's $900 today, you'll have 3 shares. Each of those would be $300. Nothing changes with the value of your stock or anything like that. So it's very simple. Sometimes, again, people get hung up on specific language or dates. You don't need to really worry about the stockholder of record date either. That's more for brokerages to actually handle how the, you know, actual facilitation of the stock split happens. But if you bought shares on August 18th or something like that, they're still going to get split just the same way as any share bought before that. So nothing to really worry about other than that August 25th date, which is when you'll start to see the split, the stock trading on that split adjusted basis. So that's pretty much all we need to know about the split. At this point, we'll see, you know, obviously the market not reacting super positively to that yet, but we knew it was coming, but we'll see how that affects trading when we get closer in. As for the rest of the meeting, I've just got my notes here, just copied and pasted out of my note sheet, but you can see that the first note I had here was just Elon being in a good mood, right? Like, I think it was a very positive environment. It was nice to have shareholders actually there at Giga Texas. Hopefully Tesla can continue to grow that meeting in size. Obviously a lot of shareholders interested in attending. So, I think, you know, hopefully Tesla intends to do that. But I think it was good for Elon just to be able to, you know, have that experience, see how impactful Tesla has been to shareholders. Really nice to have that, you know, in-person environment and feel. And I think Elon really appreciated that, probably inspiring for him as well. In terms of Tesla, we talked about the split proposal being passed. Some of the proposals did not actually go in Tesla's favor, so we'll talk about those. But, you know, it can be a little bit dry, so we'll save that stuff till the end, unlike the actual shareholder meeting when that's at the beginning. Elon did talk about the possibility of a buyback in the future. So that was a question that, you know, I wasn't a fan of. I don't think this answer is super surprising. Basically, Elon saying that, yep, if all of these plans, you know, go well, that's something that could be on the table in the future, which, you know, if you look at any sort of financial modeling that includes FSD or Optimus or, you know, all the upside that Tesla has, it's pretty obvious that Tesla's going to have to do something with that capital. It's just a matter of getting to that point. So it's premature, but, you know, Elon talking about that. We've talked before about dividend versus buyback. I don't want to go too deep into that rabbit hole just because we have done that before, but personally, I'm definitely okay with a buyback versus a dividend. It's a little bit more flexible. You're not really locked into, you know, continually doing that. You can, but a dividend, once you kind of put it out there, it's pretty difficult to draw that back. So no issues with that. And again, not too surprising. Elon did say that Tesla will probably be the most valuable company in the world if FSD and Optimus are solved, which is an understatement, I think, to say the least. Not too surprising on that front either. I think even if Tesla gets one out of the two of those, it's a pretty clear path. And even honestly, without that, there's still a path for Tesla to become the most valuable company in the world. All right, production. So Tesla will approximately produce 1.5 million vehicles this year. Unfortunately, we don't know what the approximation is on that. If it's closest 500,000, no major surprise there. Tesla's previously said they're still trying to get to 50% growth. That's about 1.4 million vehicles. So I'm not really taking that as any new guidance, basically just saying Tesla, you know, same comment that they made on the earnings call, which in general too, I know Tesla went through a lot of stuff about free cash flow, operating margins, a lot of the stuff like recycling. A lot of that stuff we actually already talked about for the impact report, so this is more of stuff that we haven't talked about yet that I'm covering here. The June production rate hit 1.5 million vehicles though, so that's 125,000 for the month. Tesla had previously mentioned that they had a record production month for June, but now we know that at least 125,000. I'll have to kind of go back and look at how that fits into what I had modeled for. I think that's right around where I'd expected it to be. Obviously, we knew Shanghai, but kind of guessing a little bit on Fremont. So we'll take a look at that. Elon would be surprised if less than 100 million cars are produced by Tesla within the next decade, or I guess you could call it 97 million because he's talking cumulatively. Tesla just surpassed 3 million now. So he's talking about, okay, they went from 3,000 to 3 million in the course of a decade. Over the next decade, Elon thinks that can go to 100 million cars. So that's really through 2032 rather than 2030. So if you're doing any sort of like, you know, fitting that into a model, for my personal model, that fits into it just fine. So not really any changes from, you know, what I'm personally expecting. And certainly if Tesla gets to 20 million by 2030, that is very much in play, and would be pretty easily achieved at that point if Tesla hits that. All right, factories. So this is probably one of the bigger pieces of news from the night. Elon did say that I don't remember his exact term, but he said, you know, likely or probably have a factory announcement later this year. So that's definitely something to be excited about. Ultimately, Tesla would get to 10 to 12 factories at 1.5 to 2 million vehicles per factory. You know, nothing too surprising for Tesla Daily listeners, I don't think there. We already know Shanghai's kind of working towards that number. We've seen plans been discussed for Giga Berlin getting to that number, though that may be revised just based on all of the, you know, stipulations that Tesla's required to meet in that jurisdiction. But certainly I'd expect Tesla to get to 2 million in Texas as well. Fremont, Elon did say maybe 700,000 or 800,000. So it's been a little bit unclear what Tesla necessarily meant by the 50% growth that they said that they could maybe achieve out of Fremont, whether that meant, you know, 600,000 or actually more like that 800,000 number. So Elon giving us at least a little bit of clarity on that, hopefully, though he could still be talking about, you know, production capacity, which you're never going to fully hit production capacity just because of downtime and things like that. So not a whole lot of clarity there, but at least a little bit more guidance on Fremont. FSD beta, Tesla showed I've got a typo in here. Tesla showed their updated graph that we had seen in the earnings call that had surpassed 35 million miles. I have billion in here. Obviously now they're at about 40 billion, a little bit over, so probably about 42 billion miles. Sorry, 42 million miles. Likely over 100 million by the end of the year as Tesla continues to roll it out. Elon said they're still tracking towards a wide release in North America for FSD beta by the end of the year, and they might get to the goal of outperforming their GPU cluster, which they're doing a lot of their video training, auto labeling, neural network improvements on, with Dojo, Elon said, quote unquote, soonish. So again, we don't know exact timelines on that, but sounds like at least Dojo is continuing to progress in the way that Tesla expects it to be. For vehicles, obviously everybody curious about the Cybertruck. We didn't get a whole lot on that. Elon did say that Cybertruck pricing is likely to increase. Again, I don't remember his exact words on that, but that was what he was intimating. He did also kind of hint that maybe the specs would be different, hopefully improved, from what Tesla had originally announced, which is often the case with Tesla vehicles, and usually we're a little bit shorter in between announcement and actual release. So, you know, it's going to have been about 4 years between the Cybertruck unveil and the release when it does come out. So hopefully a lot of time for Tesla to be able to improve on what they had thought at that time. For Model Y, Elon did say it's likely to be the best-selling car in the world by revenue in 2022 and likely to be the best-selling car in the world by volume in 2023. As far as revenue goes, it honestly, for the first half of the year was probably already there. And you know, the second half of the year should be even better as Tesla doesn't have to face as much downtime, hopefully. So we should probably do some analysis on that and chart that out. But again, no major surprise on that. And then best-selling car in the world by volume 2023. I'd have to look at the math, but depending on what, you know, supply constraints have been for other automakers this year, Tesla would be pretty close already this year, I think. And certainly next year, barring any force majeures, as Elon says, I think that's, you know, very much achievable, and I would be surprised if that is not the case next year, as we've got Berlin, Texas, Shanghai, Fremont, hopefully, you know, all producing in high volume by the end of this year for Model Y. Sorry, I'm losing my voice a little bit. A lot of talking yesterday, by the way. It was great to meet so many people. Ton of fun, but my voice is taking the hit from that today. Batteries. 4680 may hit high volume production end of this year. Does not affect hitting 1.5 million vehicles, though, as Tesla had previously mentioned as the target. So, again, reiteration of what we'd heard on the earnings call. Supercharging. Elon did say version 4 supercharger maybe next year. So, we know we had talked about some of that showing up in site plans. Still sounds like a little bit of ways from that, you know, maybe 9, 12 months from now or so for Supercharger V4. But Elon did start to go into hinting about something else on the supercharging front. He just said, quote, "Let's just say there's some cool stuff happening on the supercharging front," end quote. So, who knows? Unfortunately, people were kind of like shouting things out. I feel like he was gonna give a hint, and then he got distracted by like supercharging locations. So we'll see what that is, but kind of an interesting comment there. Master plan part three. Elon said it might be done this month. He might have said next month. I think he said this month, though. We still got a lot of August left, so hopefully in August. And he did say that they would really focus on mapping out the specific requirements to convert to a sustainable economy. So I think what Elon is going to do is just say, okay, here's how many terawatt hours of energy storage we need. Here's how much production from a solar, wind, etc. perspective that we need. And here is the supply chain that is needed to be able to make that happen. So I think that's kind of what Elon is getting at there with Master Plan Part 3. But hopefully we'll see that later this month. And then he had a few comments just on the macro environment. He said, you know, as we have heard him say on Twitter, he's guessing that we're past peak inflation, thinks it will drop rapidly though. Tesla's input costs are trending down. Again, what we've heard on Twitter. He said there might be a mild recession for maybe 18 months, but you know, when you think about that and you think about the stock market, it's been down 30%, 20%, whatever the case is, whatever index you're looking at. A lot of that is kind of expected, you know, with how the market's reacted. It's obviously forward-looking, so it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, the stock can't continue to appreciate, even if that ends up being the case. And Tesla is kind of its own thing, right? Like, I don't think a recession is all that impactful for Tesla with the demand position they're in, with the margin position they're in. There's certainly a lot of room for progress during a period of time like that for Tesla, and I think for the stock. Elon was asked about U.S.-China relations. Obviously, he was biting his tongue a little bit on that question, which I thought was good. You know, he seemed to want to say a little bit more on it, but really just said, you know, he'd wish for peace and respect, kind of both sides. So, thought that was a good answer for Elon. I haven't seen too many headlines on that today, so that's a win. And then Twitter, maybe one of the more interesting parts of the meeting. Elon definitely still seemed interested in buying Twitter. This was off of Gary Black's question about a succession plan and, you know, kind of a split in time if the Twitter acquisition ends up happening. And, you know, Elon said he can't obviously talk too much about it, but then went into all the reasons that he would be interested in acquiring it. So it's more of the tone that we have seen Elon take before trying to end the merger agreement. So just kind of interesting, and my best guess at this point in time would be that that does end up happening at a reduced price. You know, that seems to be, with Elon's comments here, kind of the angling of all of this at this point in time. But you know, things can change. It can still go any different direction. I could be wrong on that for sure. That's just how it feels to me intuitively at this point in time. The other kind of interesting thing that we saw, not that we got a lot of detail here, but was on AI Day Part 2. Tesla did show this little teaser image, which is really cool. It looks like they've got, you know, presumably this would be the Tesla bot prototype. And we can see some pretty major changes here from the sort of concept that Tesla had at AI Day 1. You can see the hands here, obviously very different. I think this one looks a lot better, but this one looks a lot more real and functional. and like Tesla's actually, you know, doing something useful with this prototype at this point in time. So very exciting to see that, and hopefully that means we'll see some sort of demonstration of something at AI Day Part 2, which again is September 30th. The next thing here, just wanted to go through quickly the proposals that Tesla had, you know, that the vote did not go in Tesla's favor in terms of what the board had recommended. So as Martin said, those were proposals 2, 3, and 6. So I wanted to just briefly explain what those are. Proposal 2, it was just to reduce the director terms from 3 years down to 2 years. Not anything major there, but it needed a supermajority vote. Martin said that 98% voted to approve it, but unfortunately, that 98% did not make up 2/3 or a supermajority. So Tesla couldn't end up passing that without that supermajority in this case. So it doesn't go through. And the same thing with 3, that's directly related. Tesla was trying to eliminate that supermajority voting requirement. And in the same case there, they got 97% approval on that for the shares that did vote. But unfortunately, not enough shares voted to get to that 2/3 mark. So this is why we talk about the importance of voting. Like, it does make a difference. These are actually pretty close to, you know, going through. Certainly, we've got a lot of shares represented in the audience. It does make a difference. So, you know, we'll keep reiterating that for next year. Definitely just make sure to vote. Proposal 6. So this was kind of an interesting one. You know, we had all these stockholder proposals, 7 through 13. Side note on that, let's hopefully be a little bit more respectful next year. Like, I know it's kind of annoying to sit through that and, you know, you can disagree with the proposals and things like that, but like, we don't have to boo them or, you know, Tesla shareholders have won and are winning. Like, we're in the better position. Like, we don't need to act in that manner. I think it's just, it's not super classy. So let's try to class it up a little bit next time is my only request on that. But for Proxy 6, anyway, the proposal here, what this was a nomination for shareholders to group together, and that group could then own 3% of the company's outstanding shares. And if that 3% has been owned by that group for a period of at least 3 years, they would be able to recommend somebody for the board of directors, which would then go to a vote. So this did pass, which means this is now a possibility, which, you know, I like that it is requiring long-term shareholding. That said, 3% of the outstanding shares, if that's by a group, that's really not all that much. I'd have to think about it. I don't know if our audience would quite get there, but it's a relatively low bar in terms of the percent. At least 3 years is definitely a little bit longer, and you know, it's good that it is that longer term holder, so you can't just buy it and get someone on the board and then kind of mess things up. Not that it's easy to buy 3% of Tesla or anything like that, but you know, institutionals could easily cross this threshold, a couple of them working together. So it'll be interesting. We'll probably see somebody be recommended then from this proposal on the board next year, and there will be a vote on that, which again just reiterates how important it is to actually vote on these things. So that's what Proposal 6 is, and that did go through despite Tesla's board recommending against it. It doesn't mean people can just get installed on the board. Again, that will also have to go to a separate vote, but that's what Proposal 6 means. All right, moving on from the shareholder meeting then, we've got an update on the EV tax credit, a couple of them today. I guess one update and one other thing on it. The first update is that it looks like the Senate will now get their 50 votes, with Senator Sinema now saying that she will vote for this Inflation Reduction Act of 2022. So that should get them to 50. There could still be some changes between what we had talked about last week and what actually ends up getting voted and presumably passed by the Senate. It sounds like that will happen on Saturday. You know, New York Times says it's slated to move forward on Saturday and pass with the Senate within days. So I'm not sure exactly what that means in terms of the timeline, but probably some more news on that this weekend. The other thing that happened on the EV credit, this was like all over Twitter. There was some misreporting here that there had been a significant change to the structure of the EV credit in this proposal. Not the case. This, I don't know what was going on, but this is just old. This was like an old draft that got published on the Congress website. We can tell that it's an old draft. So people were concerned that there was going to be this union credit. So you can see domestic assembly, you know, $4,500 credit meeting this qualification. Part of that qualification was manufactured under a collective bargained agreement with employees. So the union clause, basically. But this entire proposal here, this is the it's just an old draft, like directly. An easy way to see that is that it says it's describing everything as a new qualified plug-in electric drive motor vehicle. The most recent drafts that we have seen, that's all scratched out. It talks about how it's a clean vehicle now because they want to get hydrogen in there. And I think it's obviously, sort of a buzzword type of term to have in there too. It would be very surprising if all of a sudden they just go back on that sort of a term to, have it be what it was. And then again, this is just completely the old draft that we had seen. So it doesn't really make a lot of sense. I'm not sure why it popped up on the page, but it's not something that I think is an accurate reflection of where the current status is. Again, hopefully we'll see a more official document of the most recent proposal sometime this weekend. We'll see. All right, next we've got a bit of an update on China sales. So for July wholesale sales, which remember is retail, which is domestic in China, and then export, which is anything outside of China from Shanghai, the combination of those, Kelvin Yang here is saying that the CPCA, China Passenger Car Association, is estimating that wholesale sales for July would have been 30,000 vehicles. So I had said my benchmark was 40,000. What I had meant by that was production. This is sales. These are different numbers. So oftentimes we'll see these vary significantly. It could even be, 5,000 or more vehicles. So while this would be probably a little bit lower than I would have guessed, we'll still have to wait and see what production is, which hopefully we'll get that number next week. The other number, of course, next week to look out for on Wednesday will be the consumer price index data that we get that morning. And then the last thing for today, just a quick update on the other end of the Twitter thing, which is trying to back out of the merger agreement. Elon, as we had talked about previously, did file that countersuit that became unconfidential today. I don't think that's a word, but it was released previously. It had been, not public, but this was released, and Elon has accused Twitter of fraud, saying they misrepresented the condition of their business and key metrics on, multiple different ways. I think it's like a 160-page document. Unfortunately, I haven't had time today to read through that. And the other thing that I haven't had time to do today was listen to the new Elon Musk podcast or interview. I think it was the Full Send podcast. So that's out there. I'll try to, see if there's anything super important to cover in this Twitter thing, but it's getting to the point now where it's, suit, like countersuit argument. Like there's so many different, it's probably like 500 pages of this now. So we're getting kind of buried in paperwork and covering that. And I think we all kind of, get the gist of it at this point. So kind of just going to have to wait for courts to sort it out. But yeah, we'll see if there's anything super important on that turns up. But other than that, that'll wrap it up for today. So as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you are subscribed and signed up for notifications. And we'll see you next week for the Monday, August 8th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.